Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We have a very, very short window in this segment, and we are delighted. Don Moeller, I'm going to let you do the honors as the county executive.
Well, it doesn't get any more special than this. One of the truly great daughters of Baltimore, great daughters of Little Italy, and Nestor, Madam Speaker, Nestor lives a stone's throw from Nancy D'Alessandro Way.
I have to walk on it to get to Amici's, Madam Speaker.
We welcome Speaker Nancy Pelosi to Baltimore Positive. Madam Speaker, anything going on down there?
I just came from our ongoing negotiations to fight the coronavirus, and hopefully we're making some progress. At the same time, though, we are just engaged in winning the election, if I may say. So I was looking forward to coming to Baltimore virtually. I wanted to come actually. I do as often as I can. But it is a very busy, busy time. And just when you think you've seen it all, all kinds of other things sort of burst onto the scene.
Well, you mentioned the negotiations, the ongoing negotiations that have been made extremely difficult from our perspective by the president injecting. You never know from minute to minute what's going to come out on a tweet or what he's going to blurt out. You're trying to have detailed discussions with Secretary Mnuchin. Can you update our audience as to where those talks are now? Because we've got people hurting out there, Madam Speaker, and you're trying to address that.
Yes, people are hurting, and I try to convey to them the urgency of all of that, and I thank you for your sensitivity to that, because it's very, very important. We thought we were on a good path, and then the president made his announcement that he wanted to stop the negotiations so that the Senate could devote its full time to confirming the nomination to the Supreme Court, which is, he wants to hurry up so he can overturn the Affordable Care Act. The arguments begin November 10th. That's why he's in such a rush. I think everybody was surprised. I think even the Republicans were surprised that the president would do that. He's had quite a reaction to it. So now he's saying, let's, you know, go back to the table. I said, we've never left the table. We're sit here ready, making whatever language changes we think would be a compromise in all of this. We have to get it done. We just don't have any choice.
Can you summarize what's important to you and your caucus in the CARES Act, and you know where you're willing to negotiate, and you've come down, I think, $1 trillion already, but where you're willing to negotiate, but also identify for our listeners those areas that you're not willing to negotiate on?
Well, we have, as you mentioned, we came down $1 trillion and then $200 billion more. At the same time, our needs went up in terms of small businesses, the airlines, issues that relate to, again, the increased infections and deaths and the need to address those in the virus and in the package. But just to say, the three pillars of the HEROES Act were to honor our heroes, reward our state and local governments by compensating them for what they spent on the coronavirus and what their revenue lost was because of the virus. That's a sticking point. They just do not, you know, McConnell said, let the states go bankrupt. Well, we can't do that. Actually, I worked with Governor Hogan when he was chairman of the National Governors Association to try to get the biggest possible number for state and local government. The next pillar is crush the virus. We're never gonna be able to crush the virus, end this. Open our economy and our society and our schools, until we crush the virus. Testing, tracing, treatment, mask wearing, isolation, separation, all of that, sanitation. And there's a scientific approach to this that will help reduce the spread of the virus, especially in sometimes in our minority communities. So that's third. And then the third is put money in the pockets of the American people. Whether that's unemployment insurance, enhanced direct payments, help for our poor children with the child tax credit, issues like that, but also to address the fact that there's 17 million children in America who are food insecure, 17 million. This has been a problem before, but the coronavirus, it's completely exacerbated. And there are many people on the verge of eviction. So we have those issues. I think we can find common ground. I'm hoping so. Then we have other issues like the census that they won't yield on, funding for elections so that people don't have to choose between their health and voting by having money to facilitate the voting, and post office, which we thought we had an agreement, but not so much now. So again, I would put it into the categories of our lives, our livelihood, and the life of our democracy, including the safety of our workers in the workplace. So it is, we are finding common ground on some. I mean, that is to say, we have compromised in some areas on the funding to make room for some of the other needs that are out there. So again, it's about language, you know, about, it's legislating. You know, when you're legislating, you have to have the language right. So that's part of what we are doing. And it's all open to negotiation. That's what a negotiation is about. But if you don't believe in science and you don't believe in governance, that's where they're coming from on this. They don't trust this. They don't believe in this. They disdain the science that says we need to do these things. And they have contempt for government. And so they don't want to have government say we need to do these things and you must comply with that.
I'm rarely a man of few words, but I'm holding my ballot here, and we can't have you on without talking about the election and where we are, because this is how we change this, right? In America, this is our time to say we want something different, we want something new across the country.
Well, the vote is your voice. The big turnout, however people vote, but that people go on record to express themselves. And of course, we'd like everybody to do so this weekend. That would be good, so we get a big a boost this weekend. And again, we want to unify the country. Joe Biden is a great unifier. Our founders gave us guidance, e pluribus unum, from many one. They didn't know how many we'd be or how different we would be, but they knew we always had to strive to unify our country. And that's what we're trying to do. And Joe Biden has tremendous bipartisan, nonpartisan, really, support across the country. Of course, we're proud of Kamala Harris and how well she did last night. But the vote is just so important. And that's why it's heartbreaking to see what the president wants to do to undermine the vote. Today, he said absentee balloting is more dangerous than China and Russia to our country. Can you imagine that? He said that right after he said, I'm a perfect physical specimen, and I'm very young. Right?
It's a bit terrifying, and I know your time is tight, and I promised your staff we would get you out in 10 minutes, and we'll do that. Before I ask you one quick question about Baltimore, I would be remiss. I'll try. I don't know if I'll get an answer. There's a lot being reported as we go to tape this tonight about the speaker and Congressman Raskin, and some news about the 25th Amendment coming down the pike in the next 24 hours. Anything you can share with us about that little news that's been dribbling out there?
Well, before I do, let me just say, it's always wonderful to do anything associated with Baltimore. I'm particularly honored to be with you tonight. Thank you very much, Don and Lester. As you know, Jamie Raskin is a Marylander too, from the Washington suburban area. The first bill he introduced into the Congress was the 25th Amendment legislation. And what that does, the 25th Amendment was passed in the middle 60s. It became an amendment to the Constitution because it addressed how a president would, as illness would be addressed. Imagine it had to go all around the country to be approved in enough states for it to qualify as an amendment to the Constitution. Part of the 25th Amendment legislation said that Congress should establish a committee of the highest magnitude, healthcare, maybe former presidents of the highest level, to weigh in on the capability of the president to continue in his job. And it might be just even temporary. The president was sick or something. But there are many other ways to weigh in, the cabinet and the rest. But this was the unfinished business of the 25th Amendment, is for Congress to establish this high-level committee commission to make sure that the public knew the condition of the president and that there would be, depending on his or her capabilities, that there would be a course of action that was respected. So we're going to talk about that tomorrow in the Capitol. It doesn't even have to apply to this president. It just can be for future presidents. But it is the unfinished business of the 25th. And when you have a president saying, I'm a perfect physical specimen, I'm young and he's 74, I can say that because I'm older than that. So I can, that's not young. That's not even middle age. That's old. And some of the other statements that he has made, it really, and he has a coronavirus, and I pray for his recovery. But I also pray that his heart will be open to helping so over 200,000 families who have suffered their loss and over 7.5 million families who have suffered someone being infected. Yesterday, nearly 1,000 people died, 50,000 more became infected. So again, I pray for him, but I pray that he will help others as well.
Madam Speaker, I you mentioned 74 in age, and I guess with that, and I turn 52 next week, and I'm feeling more wise. And Don,
he's a baby.
He was my high school guidance counselor at Dundalk High School in 1982. Full disclosure. Tell me about wisdom and what you learned as a little girl with dad and family that's helping you today and tomorrow and next week and next month as we try to pull this country together.
And then we're going to let you go.
And well, you know, I was born into a very devoutly Catholic family. We're devoutly Catholic, proud of our Italian-American heritage, fiercely patriotic, loving America, and staunchly Democratic. We saw our role with Democrats as associated with our responsibility as Catholics to help the community. And so that was really and that public service was a noble calling. I never, ever thought I would run for office. Never. I mean, I didn't want to. But anyway, as I was ready when the time came in California, over 2,500 miles away from home, a different name, different city. And when people came to me, I love the issues. I love the policy. And I knew the politics. So here I am.
Keep us safe.
I want your staff to allow you to come back on, so we're not going to run over. Quick, do you have any farewells for all your deep friends from IND? Because I know that's such a part of your life.
Yeah, so my heart is broken. This coronavirus has had many victims, one of them, IND. My brother Tommy, he loved IND. My mother went to IND, and I think that was really his relationship, as did I. So this visit, this event that we're having tonight is the first one since I lost my brother, Tommy. But IND was such a beautiful place. They had a sign. I'm going to see if I can get it. In that when you went in, since I was a little girl, because I went from grade school and into high school, it said, "School is not a prison. It is not a playground. It is time. It is opportunity." And that's what it was for all of us. We just loved it so much. And the nuns there just made a difference in all of our lives. My heart is broken. But again, it has a strong legacy and lives in the lives of so many people who went there over all of these many, many years. I want to sign off by saying I have on my Baltimore Orioles orange.
There you go.
I got the Raven alert back here for you. So you'll always have a home in Baltimore. You know that.
Yeah, we hope you'll join us from time to time, Madam Speaker.
I look forward to it. Thank you.
Thanks for the time and the opportunity.
Them birds.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Madam Speaker, Nancy Pelosi joining us from Washington, D.C. Back for more on Baltimore Positive right after this.